in DeKalb County. And so we're doing a lot. And this is a year of change, 2019. We have, you notice on your bulletins, it's a year of change. And this morning, Brother Terry asked me to reveal to you of the change that's going to take place starting next Sunday. That is this. We've always had trouble in this class, people having noise outside and people having to go shh all the time. And so the leaders, about 3 months ago, began to plan a duration of something and work together, and they've done a great job. And what they're going to do, this Sunday is the last Sunday that we'll meet together in this auditorium. They've got some construction be going on that wing where the youth meet at the present time. They're going to tear up a new office. I'm not going to waste too much class time talking about it. But we're going to have a whole new section back there in the back where my class and Roy Jones's classes meet. And we was trying to work out with the two classes would join together because one class. And next Sunday, we will be meeting in the last one down here. Now, the only trouble some people will come up with, I thought about this and telling Brother Terry about it. A lot of us get here and save our seats because we want to have a good seat. And so it might be beneficial to you if you have a jacket or something, come in, save your seat where you use for worship so you can go on back there and worship. And we'll end when the bell rings. If somebody lets me know when the bell rings, we'll end. Brother Roy and I respect Brother Roy Jones immensely. And I've always told him, and before I took this class, I sat in his class. He's a historian. He knows the Bible. He's especially the New Old Testament. And so the leadership has decided that we would take turns. And so Brother Roy and I met this morning, and we decided that we were going to try go 2 weeks, then the next guy goes 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. And at the end of summer, September, he and I will decide if this is working out. If it's not working out, we'll go back to every other Sunday. Or sometimes the biggest problem is, other than the people having to be quiet, now they want to open the doors to the sanctuary during class time. When people start coming in, they're going to be playing soft music in here so that people come in and sit down. So the only trouble that I have seen with the whole plan was is make sure you want to mark your own seat, get there in time. And so I think it'll be working good. And all the new offices are gone. All that stuff is going to be tore down. And all the new offices is that building across the street over here. Some people call it a parsonage. Some people call it an office, whatever it is. That's where all administrative work is being done at the present time and from now on. And we own all that property, all the way, the whole block down that way. Big things are happening. We're meeting together, and a lot of people are coming in together, and It's a time at all. And the other thing is, Brother Roy and I, we've been doing this since, I think, 2012 or 2013. And sometimes it gets the best of you. And I don't know what I would do if I didn't have to teach. I've sort of taught classes all my life, and it makes me stronger. But it gets to the point sometimes you just beat down. And it's hard to understand about what you're going to say, how you're going to say it. And we both agree that say nothing that's not from the Bible. And so that's the other thing that I try to do. And so we're going to be working. We need your prayers for the teachers, the administrators, and all the pastors that we have. We have some great pastors here. And I'm so great being part of this congregation. And I hope we can all blend in together, all the sheep come together, and we speak one voice. I'd do anything in the world for Brother Roy, and likewise. We're both from the military, and we both love the Lord, and we're both going to heaven, and take as many sheep as you possibly can. So we just wanted you to know that, what's going on, and next week, have that preparation, and be ready, and be praying for us. Now, after all that is said and done, I'd like for the last time to repeat after me, if you would. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. We've had some good times, and I hope not too many bad times. But what would be difficult for he and I both to reiterate things to the whole class. This is two classes coming together. And so Brother Roy said, you take the first two, and I'll take the next two. And so that's what we're going to do. And since 2011, 2012, Joy and I have never really taken a vacation just to leave town because we knew we were going to be here. And it's been that way every Sunday. Only time we head off is when we have the play, the drama that we have, and we had time off that way. So, again, we pray for y'all, and we ask that you pray for Roy and I, and pray for your pastors, and pray for the congregation. This is great things are going to happen here. And we need your support. We need your people thinking about it. Either we hang together or we'll hang separately. And this day and time, we need to hang together. It's so important. But that being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, how do we thank you for the things that you've done? Lord, sometimes we don't understand what's going on. Lord, we don't understand why people get sick. And Father, we just don't understand sometimes why the hardships. But we praise your name, and we praise your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, how we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray that the sheep will understand, the believers will understand about the Holy Spirit. I've tried every Sunday to mention the Holy Spirit because it's inside of us. It texts us. It leads us. And it's understanding. I pray that you'll be with this lesson today. Time is fleeing. And I just thank you for the opportunity of being here all these years and having a great lesson that we've been having and being with these people. I pray that when the classes unite together, all will be well under the Word of God. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you. And may greater things come. This is not the end, but this is the beginning of something great. May we smile and be happy. May we understand the fact that we have royal blood. May we understand that we're going to heaven. And we need to act like it, talk like it, and do like it. Be with us today during this lesson, and we just thank you so many times for all the glory that you've given us, and glory be unto you, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. From the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 42, simply says, yet not my will, but your will be done. Many things come out our way in life. Unexpected disappointments and trials. And often we cannot see for any reason for them. But whether they are major or minor problems, we need to handle them all. The Lord's love for us is endlessly tender and encouraging. He wants us to trust where we cannot see. And it will not be a reckless leap in the dark. As sincere trust and faith says, I know for certain that God's will is best for me. This kind of faith leaves the choice up to God. With the words his Son taught us, your will be done. I prepared this lesson, I think it was Monday, and then typed it up Tuesday. What I do, I write things down during the day, down in the living room and then in my office, and I coordinate. It's like putting an offense together. We're going to run this offense, and we're going to put personnel in here. Who's going to be at split end? Who's going to be at tight end? Stuff like that. And so, ironically, I put it together and then begin to sort the things and put them together. And it came out, ironically, when I was told about this, it fit right in, right together, right together. As believers, and we are believers, God lives in us, and we're in Him. We know that the Bible says that the body is the holy temple of God. And we need to treat it that way. And you've done it, and I've done it. We have abused our body at times. We sometimes have done bad things in spiritual life that God, we knew God didn't want. But did we change? And we tried to make that change, and keeping in mind that this is the holy temple of God. God promised us to grant us wisdom if we ask Him for it. And the thing about that, we still don't. The soldiers here, the officers in the Lord's army, some of us still do not understand how to ask for that wisdom. And sometimes we find out that if we go into the Bible and totally surrender to God, that's the way the Holy Spirit is. That once you believe and profess with your name that, hey, Jesus is the Son of the living God. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man can come unto my Father other than through me. And a lot of times we as officers, we're the Christian soldiers, we know we're going to heaven. And we need to ask God for this wisdom. But we need to ask God to take this spirit of fear from us, this spirit of doubt, insincerity. Take it away from us. We get it. Time is fleeing. Every time you turn the television on, it's murder, rape, everything that's go possibly wrong. Anything that the Bible says good is gone bad. And we need to get closer to God and understand what we have to do. You have not because you ask not. God will give you what you need according to His will and wisdom. Some people are bitter, and sometimes our soldiers in the army, of the Christian army, we get bitter because Alpha or Bravo and Charlie and Delta got new cars, new houses, and things went good, and here we are. We say, how could that be? What is life? Why? Why can't we have that? It's the way that you have to understand. It's just like if you're in a foxhole and you're military and they overrun us, they're fixing to shoot us, and we surrender. We come out of the foxhole in disgrace. This is a new type army. This is a new type battle that we need to totally surrender. Surrender to God. Surrender to God and say, this is it. I want to be a part of it. And hold on to it. How can you if you don't understand it? It's important that you understand this. Remember, and this is something that it just hit me right off the bat that night. Remember, because we got people come over to the house all the time, being teachers and coaches. We got people come in mostly a problem. Sometimes people come in for edification. But the biggest problem is somebody that people don't understand. They will not make up their mind that we need to read the Bible, that we need to study, that it's essential. And we have this fear that we don't want to give up what we're doing. We do not want to put things aside. And we live, God forbid, like pagans, the Sadducees and Pharisees. You're the only hope a lot of people have. And it's time that we wake up and join together and do what we have to do. Remember, you cannot have faith in the Bible. What? You cannot have faith in the Bible if you don't read the Bible. You've got to read the Bible to understand how to fight. In football, we have to understand the playbook. We have to listen when we run a play. We call out red right, 24 isolation on two. That tells us the formation. Red tells us where we're going, what hole we're going over, what back is carrying it, and it tells these people on the backside how we to block. And then we're watching the film. If they don't follow that, then they're no use to us other than fellowship. So what I'm trying to get across to you is this, that you need to understand to read the Bible. It's written on a seventh grade level. And we are the royal blood. We are the people that we need to understand. But how can you read the Bible? If we talk about Joseph or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who are they? Hebrew kids. What did they do? Most of us understand because people are talking. We know who Jezebel is. We know who Satan is. But you need to know why they acted the way they do. You need to know and understand why sometimes things are not happening good to you. You need to understand that God loves you with all his heart. He loves you the way you are, but he wants you to be more like Christ. And so as I read the Bible, I understand that God is my God, the only God. The only God. He's the creator of existence. And Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And the Bible tells me I am to profess that with my mouth. He tells you, if you read the Bible, that you are to profess his name. Say it. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe he died for my sins. I believe that his death, his stripes, covered me. And if you don't understand that, it's almost like a pagan, because we don't do what we have to do. If he paid a price for you, if you have sickness from this day on out, the mere fact that you're going to heaven and that somebody has paid a price for you, it's essential. And sometimes we don't understand that. We don't comprehend that. It's not imperative to us. And we just keep on going day by day, putting it side by side. And most of us in here, I know a lot of you. You read the Bible. You read it daily. Every morning I get up, Lord willing, I put my feet on the ground and still sitting on the side of the bed. Thank you. Thank you for a night's sleep. If I get 4 hours sleep, good. Five. And one day this week, I got 7.5 hours sleep. And I was ecstatic. I wanted to do a cartwheel when I got out of bed. The point, what I'm trying to say is, be joyful, cheerful, happy with everything that God has given you. You need to understand that. We're the leaders. We're the only Bible that most people read. You read and heard about the San Diego Innocent, where a guy walks into a synagogue and a hate crime and just starts shooting. And some of us just looked at it, and it gets to a point that we're immune to it. We don't see it because it's happening so many times. So many things are going on in the world when we just turn a deaf ear to it. And we keep on going. We keep on going like there's no return. We forget the fact that we're supposed to read the Bible. We forget the fact that to pray. And how do we pray right? And what is the communications involved? On the tombstone of my daughter, it says Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself into the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But that simply means once you understand, you profess Jesus' name, you walk in the light, you make mistakes, you make errors. We all fall short. But it's those that have a conscientious and pray continuously and ask God for help. Or you can come to a point that is callous, that it just rubs off on you. And while I'm talking, some of you might say, what is this old man talking about? I'm sick of it. This is the time that we ought to unite together. We hang together or we hang separately. The time that we need to help each other. A time that we need to speak to each other. And when you ask somebody something, look them in the eye. Be fruitful. How do you tell a Christian You see a military guy, I can tell you everything he said. What officer, enlisted man, what branch, what the medals are, what I post he's with. The Christians, they look at you, and after 5 minutes, they know who you are by your fruits, how you conduct yourself, and you're not being hypocritical. They know. Here comes somebody that's a breath of fresh air. You're so important. You have been loved, and you need to act like it and act like it and talk like it. Stay away from negative and scornful people. They have problems with every solution. We all have relatives that we don't get along with. And every time somebody dies, and that's getting very often now, we go to a funeral, and they're there, and you get off in the corner and say, God, how can they not understand? How can they be living the life that they're living? How can they be that way when people don't comprehend what they're supposed to be doing? Time is fleeing. All glory is fleeing. The heartbeat just keeps beating. And pretty soon, it's going to stop. No more living. You're going to leave Earth. It's important that you leave in style. It's important that the journey that we talk about each Sunday morning, the journey that you're in right now, the journey that some of us may be sick, some of us may have family problems, financial problems, that's part of life. It's how you think of yourself. It's how do you react. Think about the good things that you have instead of thinking about all the bad things that you don't have. God takes delight in His children's prosperity. I've seen that so many chapters. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have good, but He don't want you to get to a point that you get arrogant. You get to the point that you don't know how to handle. He gives you a little amount so that later on He knows you can handle a big amount. And until you learn to handle this little amount, you will never get this change at the big amount. The Bible says it. So in. That just simply means that He's giving you a test. We go through tests. And He doesn't want us to be perfect because we get too much of ourselves. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you have to be knocked down. I've been knocked down. I know how it feels. You be humble, or somebody will humble you. It's like in fighting or anything else. There comes a time that when everybody falls, there comes a time that you look in the mirror and make up your mind that, hey, I've got to change. I can't continue this way. I'm miserable. I'm not happy. I'm not getting along with my spouse. I'm not getting along with my kids. I'm not getting along with my neighbors. What's wrong? Why? You're supposed to be one of us. You're supposed to be the children of God. You're supposed to be royal blood. We need to act like it. If you're like in the military, conduct good conduct. You respect each other. And sometimes you may not respect the guy that's wearing that uniform, maybe an officer, but you salute the uniform. You salute what Christians are, not what the guy is. And so it's important that the way you act, the way I act, my act influences you. Your act influences us at church. Prayer should not be a mere formality. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this cornbread. Thank you for butter beans and thank you for my wife. Thank you for the kids. And just thank you so much, Father. And go to sleep. God, your creator, the creator of everything, your Father in heaven, He asks for your love. He wants you to talk to Him. Not just long prayers that sometimes don't mean much. He wants you to be sincere with Him and talk to Him. It's so important. I found out you invest your time based on how much you value someone or something, and nothing is more valuable than your intimate relationship with God. If you are too busy to pray or wait for God to reveal His will to you, in other words, I'll get right with God some other day, then you're headed for trouble. You can understand why your life's that way. We often cannot understand the trials and setbacks that happen to us. God would give us tests. And if you pass those tests, it's a big little word that makes a big thing. integrity. We are supposed to have integrity. We mess up, we make sin, but we know how to ask God to forgive us and change our ways. Turn 180 degrees. If I'm doing something wrong and God lets me know, I may have to turn 180 degrees and head back. Stay away from where things will cause you problems. Stay away from people that will mess you up. Stay away from the evil and darkness of life. The most important thing is that you're a Christian. You're a child of God. We're brothers and sisters. I'm happy with you. I'm very happy. This is the only congregation in my life, and I'm 75 years old almost, that I love everybody. I love you. I meet you. And that's a great thing. This is the last Sunday that we're meeting like this. It's been a great ride. But I think bigger and better things are coming from here on out. God love you. Be with you. Thank you so much for your kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.